We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We have plenty of strategy meetings we've already started between now and Thursday about where the threshold would be or our comfort level is with certain guys. There's a million hypotheticals you go through right now, and amongst the GMs, we all talk amongst each other, so we kind of have a feel of who wants to move up, move down, and you're kind of prepared. To say it happens with 3 minutes left on the clock, probably not the case. I'd say we probably have a good idea before we're even on the clock.
50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge Jeep Ram, and Peter, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. This is the kickoff of draft week. It is one of the most listened to weeks on our station every year. Steelers fans, both here in Pittsburgh and streaming around the world, drop in on our station to see what's going on, what's going to happen, and some breadcrumbs get laid out at this press conference. Now, in the past, Mike Tomlin got very good, very media savvy about what he says here. Doesn't want to give away too much. This is Omar Khan's second press conference. Second time he's done this, and he still, I think, gives a little bit away with his answers.
Your opinion not shared by some of the Steelers, the regulars on the beat, people thinking he's already locked into not giving them too much. So you must be going over it with an even finer toothed comb.
Who are the regulars that I'm in?
I think I saw Saunders intimate that he's skilled in the art of saying very little.
Agree to disagree on that, Alan. He's trying to say very little, but I think there's a hiccup every now and then. All right, so one of the big topics right now, I think, is center. We just talked about this with Bouchette. And Ed doesn't think that offensive tackle is the biggest draft need. It's center. Nate Herbig right now is number one on the depth chart. They had Herbig all last year. They didn't like Mason Cole. They thought so little of Cole, they cut him. And while both Herbig and Cole were on the team, they never started Herbig at center when Cole was healthy enough to play.
Correct.
And it's not like the offensive line coach has changed. Now, the offensive coordinator has, but Tomlin's still here. I mean, the people that have
presumably
agency,
Nate Herbig in their eyes is the same player as he was last year.
Yeah,
capable of the same thing.
They would have had agency to bench Cole and give Herbig the job, and they never did that last year.
That's correct.
Here is Omar Khan on the center options in the draft and their thought or take on the position as it stands right now.
It's an important position, but we have guys on the roster that have flexibility, so we have options there. But it's, you know, there's some good players at the position, and we'll see where it shakes out. There's a handful of centers that are, a number of players that are at the position that are going to be starters in the NFL this year in years to come. But it's no different than the other positions. I mean, there's good players at all these positions.
All right, so one of the things I believe he slipped up on there in the answer was when he said there are several players in this draft who will be starters in the NFL this year. He's talking about guys who are, I'm presuming, beyond the first round, because how many first-round centers are there? One and a half, maybe two? I get the sense that he thinks it's a deeper position than maybe we on the outside think of it as a three-man position, as a three-player draft class. Powers, Johnson, Barton,
Frazier.
And Frazier.
Is that a tell from him that maybe he thinks like a Tanner Bertolini is a viable option, or a Cedric Van Pran Granger is a viable guy that can start this
or
year?
Or maybe the guy from Penn State. Or maybe, I hate to do this, maybe there's a guy who everybody thinks is a guard.
Who they think is a
who
center?
Who they think can play center.
Now, is that guy undersized and not particularly enamored with playing center? Because that's the real sweet spot you got to find. Can we find somebody that isn't, you know, fit for the position size-wise, who doesn't want to play the position, that we can then tell to play the position?
And I think that the guys that we have on the roster who can play center, I still hold out for the possibility that they think, remember he said they can get one in a trade? Remember Khan said that?
Yes. I do remember that.
I just wonder if he's got like an ace up his sleeve where he thinks like maybe there's a starter, maybe someone else is going to draft Frazier or Powers Johnson, and that's going to relegate a center to backup, and the Steelers like the guy as a starter. Now, I don't like dumpster diving and always trying to, like, oh, their trash is our treasure.
That would be a harder sell for me for the exact reason you just laid out. Does it feel like that works often in any sport? We can all talk about it.
We're doing that at quarterback, Chris, with Wilson
I understand.
And Fields.
I know. And we could, at that position, at the very least, you can always at least explain it to yourself as, for example, you say, well, that guy had bad coaching. It's such a coaching-dependent position. It's such a situation-dependent position. When it's not quarterback, when there isn't so much processing that has to go on and so much you're responsible for, center being maybe the QB of the line, I get it. It's just harder for me to buy into that, I guess. Like that's a tough one for me.
I'm going to remember that quote if they go in a different direction Thursday and it's not Barton. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're still at 51 and we're thinking they're not going to be able to draft Frazier or Powers Johnson with where they are,
you know,
in the second round.
I'm going to tell you something real quick. I look through Brugler's guide because it's so comprehensive. And you know how they had the center and guard experience for Kendrick Green? I'm looking at his list of guards because, you hypothesize, is there a guard they actually think could play center? There's really nobody who's actually got playing experience
at center
in that grouping. You know who actually...
Well, it's not like Kendrick Green had a lot of experience.
No, I know.
At center.
But he showed up as having played a game or, you know, whatever. Fautanu probably is the closest thing. People think he can play all five positions in the NFL. So what would the real sicko move be? Draft Fautanu.
Who played left tackle at Washington.
Then have him play center. Draft an actual center later in the draft. Then eventually move Fautanu, to left tackle? Or just have like seven different moving parts? That continues to be the one elephant in the room. I'm a big fan of Omar Khan, but it does feel very specious that without a dramatic trade up or a trade down in the first round, which sacrifices a true first round tackle, that they get both tackle and center
in their first two picks. They have left themselves vulnerable on the offensive line. And the number one complaint we get from fans is that their offensive line is in tatters or was in tatters and wasn't good. And yet I haven't heard a lot of that lately. So I guess there is the prevailing or there's the notion out there that in Omar we trust he's going to figure this out. Well, you've got, in my opinion, still two holes, left tackle and center, that need filled. So maybe you do that. Maybe you're able to tie up all your loose ends by trading down, by moving down and acquiring more picks. Here are Khan and Tomlin on that idea today.
I would just say, you never trade away. In my opinion, you never trade away from a good player. Obviously, if there's ever a scenario that makes sense for both sides, and you have to look at it. We'll listen.
It's probably an historical sweet spot. That's probably the area where people are having those discussions because they're good football teams that are usually picking playoff caliber football teams. And sometimes trading back provides value for those teams that don't have glaring needs. I think that's probably a spot that's kind of annual in terms of those discussions.
Was it hot when you guys had Kenny there at 20?
It seems like it always, to be quite honest with you, for the reasons that I outlined.
That probably doesn't sit well that they had offers to move back when they ended up taking Kenny Pickett, from the sounds of things.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was sage Mike Tomlin after Khan gave a little bit of a direct answer to that.
I thought he threw cold water on the idea.
Well, that's what
we mean. We never turned down the opportunity to take a good player. So Tomlin later on...
But I think that's too forthcoming and like tips your hand in one direction is my point. And I think Tomlin tried to be like, well, historically there are sweet spots. I thought that was Mike saying, not so fast, my friend.
After hearing that answer, I think it's less likely that they're going to move back.
I still think it's more likely that they would move up because of Omar's portion of that answer. What do you, I mean?
Which I, like, if I had to pick one up or down, I prefer down this year.
But I feel like, most teams' fan bases always say trade down. We want more picks. Like, our team, if you believe in your team's GM, you want that, right? Because you feel like they'll just keep getting good players.
The funny thing about that is I think people loved when they moved up for Bush because they were just, we were all dying inside for an inside linebacker after watching that position for the years leading up to that.
And then
deal.
we came to Jesus collectively as a fan base and realized what that position sometimes is or often is. I'll say this, though. You say this is a year you'd want them to move back. Everybody that I read about the draft, there is seemingly one consensus position, and that it's there are about 35 to 40 very, very good players, and that once you do get past that, there is a bit of a drop-off. The idea being they're saying you would rather trade up this year. Like, let me put it this way.
Palazzolo said that to us.
But I've seen it from more than just Steve. The idea would be if you're going to do something, a trade up from 51 back into that top 35 or so, as costly as it might be, those people I think would suggest that is probably more worth it than not, than the alternative at least. So you take tackle at 20, you have to give your 84th pick maybe, and maybe another pick to get to 35 from 51. They'd say better idea to do that than than trade back from 20, get a second-tier tackle in one of the three centers. That's all.
Mike Tomlin talking about wide receivers. We know he has a soft spot for this position. He played it in college. The Steelers also organizationally have a good reputation for finding wide receivers. So listen to this answer from Tomlin on wide receivers, and you tell me what you think it means about where and when they'll take one in the draft.
I'm comfortable with the trajectory of that room. As we mentioned, the guys come in ready-made. There's a lot of talent available to us, and a lot of those guys will participate. If you look at the kid from the Rams, was really significant this year and think maybe it was a fifth-round pick. That's what's going on at that position. It makes us all comfortable, not just us, but us as a collective, the National Football League.
That makes me think picks the most likely time for them to pick wide receiver, the first wide receiver, believe it or not, is like 98 or 119 even. But probably 98.
Because he's holding up Puka Nacua
as an example
that you find wide receivers late. And oh, by the way, people think we have a Midas touch when it comes to wide receivers.
I just think that makes me feel like in their minds, the priority for picks 20, 51, 84 is tackle, center, corner.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think maybe as far as like illuminating answers, I think this is by far the most instructive one. I hear that and I just think they are very confident in finding a diamond in the rough.
Well, I think then here's guys to look at. Leggett from South Carolina, Devontae Walker from North Carolina. Like, go look at guys who are graded as third or fourth
round
players.
How about the kid from Alabama that's got all kinds
Jermaine
of red
Burton.
Flags?
He'd be a first rounder, but he's a million red flags.
Well, then, does that, do
no,
they,
I know. Brendan
have they
Rice.
Ever struck you as a team that dislikes
no,
red flags?
Red flag paradise there. I don't know if they'd want him, but red flag
just
paradise
create
in
an
general.
Alternative helmet with a red flag
how about this
replacing
one?
The Steelers logo.
Jalen McMillan. Another guy.
Washington.
Yeah, one of the non-Roma Dunze Washington receivers.
Sure.
I'm looking, and man, you just see a ton of guys who look pretty talented who sit in that third or fourth round. Here's what's happened with that position. It's gotten so saturated with some of the best players on the field or athletes that good, obviously good players, polished players, sink to the fourth round. Late third, early fourth, because there's so many good ones ahead of them.
And here's a follow-up on that. Tomlin kind of talking about George Pickens and what they're expecting or what they make of him going into next year.
We're really comfortable with the trajectory of George Pickens in terms of what he's going to be able to provide us as a player, not only in terms of playmaking, but what his experience within the room and within this organization provides us.
That last part's a little strange.
What?
His experience in the room? Like making him out to almost be he's going to become a position group leader?
Well, he is now.
No, I know.
Everyone else has been traded away.
By default. But does that mean I expect George Pickens to go from guy that was deleting his Instagram references to us to elder statesman there?
Yes. I think that is what he's saying.
That's putting a lot of faith in Michael Tomlin, by Mike Tomlin, to make sure you have carved George Pickens or molded him into the right kind of guy for your team.
I still think it's weird that they didn't even look into hiring Ward as their wide receivers coach. And I know like that comes off as lowest common denominator sports talk opinion. Take the borderline Hall of Fame player and make him a coach.
But it worked with Mularkey.
But he's been legitimately, you mean Munchak?
You said Malarkey. I said Malarkey.
Malarkey wasn't a bad coach. He just wasn't a great player.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Hines has been a coach. He's been around. He's gotten jobs. It's not like he's just a random guy.
Yes, and I just feel like his whole vibe and attitude is what they're searching for and seeking out at the position, and yet they didn't even really make an honest effort to bring him in and want to like entertain the idea of him being their wide receivers coach.
I just thought of something that I don't think either of us has ever randomly brought up in all of these discussions about this. Georgia Bulldog Hines Ward. Wouldn't that maybe matter to old George Pickens?
Right.
I'm not even kidding about that. I'm actually serious.
I'm not giving you a trite response on that either for that reason. I think it's smart. I just always forget
Hines went to Georgia, a powerhouse school, because no one gave him a chance. You would have thought he just came straight out of a community college in somewhere in western Kansas.
Here's one from Khan on the secret weapon they think they have in their front office.
You know, I have a lot of anecdotes about Andy. I'm not really going to share them. No, we go way back. Andy's been great. I'm very fortunate to have a great staff around me. Andy and Sheldon White and Mark Sadowski, Cole Marku, Dan Colbert, and the rest of the guys. And it's just been, they're great for me. You know, Andy leads this process, and he does an awesome job of it. And I'm excited what Thursday's going to bring.
I never remember any time when Colbert and Tomlin were doing this together where they would give someone underneath them that amount of love. Now, Khan rattled off other names of assistant GMs, but to say that somebody led the process, he's in charge of this as far as like the ranking and sorting out of players. What an unbelievable responsibility that is. Now, he doesn't ultimately call the shots on draft night,
but they work off of his board.
Right. That would be like if you're getting ready for a fantasy football draft, you don't make the rankings, you print out somebody else's, and that's the master list that you're going off of to make your picks. You're still entrusting someone to do a good job of that for you.
Correct.
And I just never remember, because I don't think there was anyone like that. I don't think, because Kevin was probably
I'm the scouting guy. I'm the personnel guy. And Omar was sitting there, obviously with less say, kind of talking about positional value and probably doing it from that end. Hey, this guy plays this position. We have needs at both. This is the more valuable position.
And, you know, I thought maybe there would be too many cooks in the kitchen there, too many different people with egos and opinions trying to get what they wanted. So far, so good. I mean, the first draft, I think the only pick that I'll quibble with now in hindsight, that I did not have a problem when they made it, was Washington.
Because of the knee injuries and just the inability to use them, but the injury maybe.
Right.
By the way, there's, I guess, a little bit of that with Fautanu. Knee concerns. Albert Breer sent that out today. Long-term stuff. But thing with Washington was, I think his were shorter-term. Like, can he figure it out in the short term?
We should keep an eye on that, though, because there is someone that's like first or second round every year.
That's
who
a medical
plummets in the draft, and everyone's watching the draft happen, and they're like, this doesn't make sense. And then it comes out afterwards, oh, by the way, the guy had like a horrible medical. N'Kobe Dean was that guy 2 years ago.
Why did I want to say Nolan Smith? Wasn't he a guard at Duke?
No, Nolan Smith was the outside linebacker at Georgia too, though.
But yeah, it was N'Kobe Dean was the guy. I think Nolan Smith was a guard at Duke a while ago.
You're following along in there, Austin. I saw you mouthing that was the player.
Yeah, Dean, the linebacker, fell, second round?
I think the guy this year in that case is a position that the Steelers don't care about, presumably, this year, and that's Latu from UCLA.
Austin,
he's got the neck problems.
I'll do something
whatever.
Right now on the air. If you get this right, I will give you $500.
Who they're going to pick?
Yep.
Whew. Okay.
You have to make up your mind right now. You have to make a prediction right
this
second.
Does he have to put anything on the line here?
No.
That he has to give you $5?
No.
Not even 100 to 1.
This is a free $500 free roll here.
It's a free roll, yeah.
For a little Austin. Think about what you could do. Think about all the dates you could go on with
$500. That would be fantastic. Somebody would be very lucky for all my success. I'm going to say, just because it's the first name that popped into my mind, they're going to take Fuaga, the tackle from Oregon State.
Oh, man, Pony, you can rest assured and keep that $500 in your wallet. He ain't getting to them. He ain't getting
that's the name that popped into my mind.
No,
out of everybody.
Does Malzi think it's such a long shot that now, having heard his pick, you'll throw in some money too? Sweeten the pot for a little Austin?
I'll throw in $100 for Austin.
Now, right, it's $600 if it's Fuaga.
And it's not who I want them to pick. It's just the name that came to mind.
Why wouldn't you want them to take a big road grading tackle like that?
Austin?
I'd rather have Mims.
No, he's
man after Mulsey's heart. Yeah.
I'll just say this. You did the correct thing, the old SAT strategy. When in doubt, pick the first thing that popped into your head, and you did. And there will be $600 waiting for you if Talisi Fuaga, I keep butchering his name. That's why I don't think they're going to draft him, because I can't say his name right. If Fuaga's their pick,
Texas on the Edgar Steiner Associates Fan Text Line. We have Tomlin tidbits next from this draft news conference. One Steelers insider did a very smart thing. He got an answer from Tomlin on a player in this draft. The one thing that is verboten, they never, ever, ever comment about players. Well, one insider tricked Tomlin.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Starkey just tried to prank little Austin.
I think Joe had the right idea, but maybe it was more of like a test run to test Austin's defenses. He called in apparently on the hotline as one of his, like, you know, Terran in Terrenum or something like that. William in Williamsburg.
He didn't even do that. He just started like talking and making sounds. And I said, oh, hello, Starkey.
Yeah, but
that was the extent of the conversation? You just wanted to mess with him?
No, and then we talked about the show for tomorrow.
Oh, he's...
He called you during our show your show tomorrow.
That's right. Yes, he did.
Pony, how do you feel about that?
That's a lot of forethought from Joe. I'm impressed.
But he's taking Austin's time as our producer.
We got this one. Everything's on cruise control with us right
now. I am aware of that, but what if it wasn't? What if we needed little Austin at every turn?
Then I'd be pissed right now, but
yeah, you're
I'm
right.
In a good
we are
place.
Kind of in cruise control.
Okay, so I told you going to break that Tomlin got bamboozled. So, Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette asked Tomlin hypothetically about his thoughts on drafting a player that might have to move from tackle to center.
That's a good question.
You know, like, what are your thoughts on a guy having to move from
tackle to center?
Left tackle where he played for 3 years to...
Perhaps he played at Puke University, let's call it. Yeah, that's a good question.
I'd like to ask you about a guy named Bram Garten. So we actually have a 30-second answer from Tomlin on a hypothetical player who played 3 years at left tackle and only 1 year at center and hasn't played center in a very long time.
Usually there's some intellect things in terms of front identification and so forth, communication-oriented things, and they have to show an aptitude for that. And preferably, they have something in their background, whether they were a backup, guy that did it in practice, or you didn't see him do it in the game, or maybe a guy that maybe did it as a young guy and evolved to other positions as they've gotten older. Usually there's a history of some kind there and an aptitude there that allows you to make those assumptions.
I just don't feel like they don't sound organizationally like they're that scarred or traumatized by the Kendrick Green disaster. And I can assure you and tell you that I, for one, am. That like, Ben is at the very end of his career. Marquise Pouncey is retiring. And this is our solution. This is our plan. We're going to take this guy who barely played center, and we were told the day after he was drafted, he would have been way higher on draft boards. They stole him because he didn't play a lot of center in college. And not only do we think he's going to be good, but he's good enough to play right now.
And then you watched him muff a pop-up at a softball game and knew it was curtains.
Still, think about how aggressive they were in playing Kendrick Green and juxtapose that with how cautious they were with Broderick Jones
almost
last
like
year.
One scarred them and then they took out on Jones.
Right, so that... I think, is a manifestation of them having learned their lesson.
Jones was a better prospect, though. That's like the funny thing. Much better prospect.
I, unlike Austin saying that he is now willing to bet nothing to win $500, $600.
Yes.
That Fuaga will be the Steelers' first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think Barton will probably be their pick unless something changes.
What if somebody picks him like Seattle?
Yeah, that I think would change it. But
I don't love the idea that we're all just assuming he's going to play fine at center if they draft him, having not played it since his freshman
and
year.
And I think they might just draft him and see what and see what he looks like in camp. And he's like their sixth offensive lineman. And it's going to take someone getting injured or someone playing like crap or someone making an offhanded comment about fourth quarter offensive strategy and getting benched for it to get him into the lineup.
But that means Jones is more or less, okay, so wait a minute. You're saying he's their sixth O-lineman and he might play anywhere?
Yeah, like he's the next guy in. He's exactly what you are in basketball. So you're the sixth man. You're the first guy off the bench.
So he's going to play guard, potentially?
Yeah, I don't think that's out of the question. Baldy said he thinks he can be a really, really, really good guard. I think he said really three times with us on that.
Because he's too small height-wise to play tackle in a perfect world, but he's perfect size for guard. I don't know. That probably means you're still playing Broderick Jones out of position all year, and it still means here in the corner, somehow still standing after all of this, at left tackle, Dan Moore Jr. I'm wearing a very nice neon yellow hat. No, I won't eat my hat because that'll probably happen. Why would I put
Why do people make those bets where they say, I'll eat my hat, and then they lose them, and then they're forced to, like...
Remember that guy in Cleveland, Goldhammer, who said, I'll eat feces?
He did?
Yeah.
Did he do it?
I think he wisely said some bets are just better left like on the cutting room floor and like paid money. He did a pony maybe and paid his way out of it. But yes, there was a man who claimed he would do that if something happened. And lo and behold, the thing happened.
Mike Tomlin on the importance of going to pro days. Because going back to Maurkice Pouncey in 2010, the Steelers have sent their GM, head coach, or both to every first-round pick's pro day.
Personally, when I'm at a pro day, I'm trying to get to know as many people as possible, and that's why we go to some of the pro days that we go to. You know, we go to Georgia, we go to Bama, we go to Michigan kind of routinely because you see a lot of prospects. Michigan had, I think, 18 combine invites, and so obviously all of those guys aren't first-rounders. Man, I'm trying to gain information about any and all of those guys, but that's just the mindset. We step into town. You come in prepared enough on the front end. It allows you to cast a big net and get an exposure to everyone. And so the key for us, in an effort not to get hyper-focused on the high-level draft picks, as you mentioned, is to go in with a certain level of preparedness.
I think everyone that does a job wants to work hard and not, or wants to work smart and not just work hard.
I would agree with that.
They want to know that their time is being put to good use.
I would agree with that.
And so that's why I think Tomlin goes to all these pro days and there's a pattern of them taking players from those pro days. He wants to validate his own work. He's doing what a lot of coaches don't, and he wants to prove or show that it's worth it.
Well, I think it's like a pretty sound strategy when you're usually trying to pick from Bama, Georgia, like powerhouse programs. By and large, I think you're
more likely... But sometimes
they
change that up. Like he went to Kentucky's pro day for Bud Dupree. Colbert was up at Stanford for David DeCastro.
No, I know. Dupree wasn't a total dud, obviously. He had a couple good years here at the very end, and then they were wisely not the team that paid him. When would this trend break is what I want to know. If they had a quarterback that they were looking at that was a small school guy, like not that this would ever happen anymore, like a Roethlisberger, because he would have ended up at like Notre Dame or somewhere in the NIL era, right?
Yep.
Or like the free and easy transfers. There's no way he's at Miami of Ohio. You'd almost have to have like a Quinyon Mitchell type of guy.
Well, but it did. When they thought they were at least interested in taking Malik Willis, he went to Liberty's pro day, something he never did before and he's never done since. He picked going to Cincinnati's pro day to watch Desmond Ridder over going to like Ohio State's pro day the same day.
No, I'm saying when would they actually pick a guy whose pro day they hadn't been at? Like, what perfect storm would there have to be? It would have to be a guy like Mitchell who dominates the Senior Bowl so totally and completely.
Well, And he didn't even work out at his pro day, so there wasn't even a pro day to go to.
Do you understand what I mean?
I do.
That would be like your scenario. It's a guy from a non-traditional powerhouse who's just unreal, and they don't even need to see him.
But I mean, they really did not go to a lot of pro days. So they didn't go. He didn't go to Graham Barton's pro day. He didn't go to Fuaga's pro day. He didn't go to Fautanu's pro day. The guys that fit this, what is seems to be a rule, Tomlin has to see, or the GM has to see, the player in person work out at his pro day in order to take him in the first round to make that plunge. Mm-hmm. The guys who fit underneath that umbrella are J.C. Latham at Alabama, Amarius Mims at Georgia, Brock Bowers at Georgia, Nate Wiggins at Clemson. I think that's the list. I think those are the only guys, Chris.
So wait, Khan didn't go to see Barton?
No, he did not. So Tomlin went to Georgia.
Who went to see Barton from them? Just Meyer?
Hold on, let me just double check to make sure I have it right on Tomlin. He went to Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, Michigan, and that's it. He went to four this year. Now you said Duke?
Well, I want to know if Khan even went to Duke.
Okay, this is interesting. This is very interesting. Arthur Smith is there.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the other one that's a little bit of a giveaway. Vice President of Player Personnel, Dan Rooney Jr., Art's son, who is, I mean, he's in training. He's in waiting to be the next owner of the team.
To run the shop.
That's a pretty big name to send to Duke's pro day. Unless you're pretty, pretty serious about taking the player. By the way, on Arthur Smith going to pro days, here's what Tomlin said about that.
He's been a big component of it, as all the coaches have. We respect opinions. We, particularly us, meaning the Pittsburgh Steelers, man, we just think opinions are a major component in terms of us coming to Steeler decisions. And so it's perspective, it's people's opinions, and it's communications and evaluation meetings in an effort to find common ground. And he's been a big component of that and has done a nice job of really infusing himself into it immediately.
So here are the pro days Arthur Smith went to. Georgia. Mm-hmm. Clemson, Michigan, and then randomly, North Carolina and Duke.
What's the North Carolina one?
It feels to me like North Carolina was a smokescreen.
So that they could just get over to Durham?
Or, you know, maybe this is, well, no, because that was on March 28th. They would have already had the quarterback, so I can't even make it sound like it's a thing where if Drake May fell. Well, I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, is there a scenario in which if, like, Drake May is the Aaron Rodgers of this draft, they would fall back on having watched him there?
If Drake May falls somehow in this draft the way Rodgers did and they don't pick him, I would be...
furious.
Yes.
So would I.
I would be livid. Because I think he's going to still be the best quarterback out of this draft.
If J.J. McCarthy is there at 20 and so is Amarius Mims, who do you want them to take?
I would take the Amarius Mims card up there so fast. I would also take a J.J. McCarthy card and write his name on it, then I'd rip it to shreds theatrically.
I'm not as down on McCarthy as you are.
I think he could... I don't even want to say this because it's going to piss off our listeners, so I'm not going to.
Okay.
I'm not going to.
What's that called? Discretion is the better part of valor?
I mean, people who are smart probably can figure out where I was headed.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.